Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, let me grab the headphones. I'll get dialed into the studio. Get these dogs to shut up. Oh, goodness. I better close the window or the neighbors are going to get mad. Hope the guests call in tonight. I wonder if anybody's going to call in. Well, let's do this thing.
It's Rated G Radio, and this is your host, Garrett Miller.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Rated G Radio. It is 7 o'clock on Wednesday, and that means we are live for the next hour. If you'd like to call in and ask a question or make a music request, tonight's a great night to do it. 323-657-1493 is the hotline. 323-657-1493. In just a few minutes, we'll be joined by our new entertainment reporter, Drew Britton, and we're going to come up with a name for Drew. You know, like last year, we had the pop culture king of pop culture, Greg Archer. He was a recent guest on the show as well for his new book about his family struggle through Polish Germany and occupation and, you know, all the crazy stuff that happened to his family post World War II. He's on again talking about his book Chasing Grace, which is really, really a lifelong passion for him. I actually had a really nice conversation with Greg earlier today on the phone. He was in Chicago doing some stuff with his family, and we had an opportunity to visit on the phone for a little bit, and he's getting all geared up for the book. He's in some final edits of the publication right now, and he's really excited to get that out. So I said, you know, once the book's out, make sure, you know, you come back on the show. So he'll be doing that. Roadmap for the rest of the week, just to give you a heads up, Gail Carline is on the show tomorrow night on Thursday to talk about her new book. I just had it in front of me, and I did this last night with Jeff, Tarot Jeff, on Jeff's segment. But she's going to be talking about her new book that is a best-selling book, and I'm really excited to have Gail back on the show. She's not only a fantastic guest, but she's a brilliant author and just writes with a real sharp wit that is very easy to read. And I'm going to be actually staying up till all hours of the night reading her book tonight, so I'm excited for that. We'll also be doing the Friday night dance party, actually at 7 o'clock on Friday night, and that will be with the Mango Dreamers. We're going to have Layla and Mr. Chuck Singh on the show, and we'll be playing their music. I will also share with you that that will be the I can make the announcement today. It's been a long time in coming. Rated G Radio, starting next Friday night, so it's a one-week delay, but next Friday night is going to be playing the Friday Night Dance Party on Chat and Spin Radio on the network in the United Kingdom and the Westar Radio Network in the United Kingdom. So I'm really, really thrilled and excited to be part of their growing radio listenership across the pond, as they say. And so the first episode they're going to actually play is tomorrow night's episode, which we're going to do live tomorrow at 7 p.m. So if you get a chance to tune into that, please do so. We're going to be changing up the format just a tiny little bit. So it's, instead of doing the traditional two-hour dance party with people or my musical guests, and we're going to use them for the entire 2 hours, we're going to shorten this down to a one-hour interview and music for our highlighted guest of the week. And then hour two is going to be just, listener request music that you want to hear, things like that in hour two. And it's going to be talk-free and commercial-free as well. It's always commercial-free, but you know what I mean. But we're doing that at the suggestion of the programmers for the network for Chat and Spin. So I'm delighted to try something a little bit new and different. Now, here's the interesting thing. They have made the request because of the hour that they're going to air the program. So you know, of course, this is live at 7 p.m. California time every day, which is really, really cool. For the Chat and Spin segment, when it airs there, it's going to be airing, quote-unquote, live there at midnight to 2 a.m. So in my Skype negotiations today with the group, they were like, you know, here's what we'd like you to do in hour one, here's what we'd like you to do in hour two. But the last 15 minutes of the show, instead of having all this high-energy dance music and doing things like that, we want you to kind of like dial it down a notch or two, and we'll have you play some, you know, slower-paced music, because at 2 in the morning, the last 15 minutes of the show, we want to get people ready to go to bed. I thought, well, why not? That sounds like a great idea. So the last 15 minutes of the show, I'm not sure how we're going to do this, or I'm not sure how it's going to play out, but it's going to be something that's going to be fun. And we're just going to see how that works out. So it'll be very, very cool. Very excited, and can't wait to do all of that with you guys live tomorrow night. So it's going to be a little bit of an experiment, if you want to call it that, but it's nothing that is going to be drastically different, just a little bit of formatting changes that might be a little bit different that we need to get, kind of used to. So it'll be kind of like a trial and error tomorrow night. So I'm really excited to do that with you. Let's see. In the following week, just to give you a little bit even further of a roadmap into what's going to be going on, Gustavo Sains on Monday night, Monday the 10th, he's a filmmaker. We're going to be talking about not only his upcoming Hollywood film, but his new humanitarian project called the Human Time Project. So he's going to talk about that with us on Monday the 10th. Tuesday, of course, is Tarot Tuesday. Wednesday, we'll be back with headlines from Hollywood. Next Thursday, we'll have Diana Barish, and she is going to be on the show talking about her new album. She's also on the ballot for the 57th Annual Grammy Award. So I'm really excited to have Diana on the show as a musical guest on Thursday. I know that's unusual to have a music guest on a Thursday, but that's the only day we could get her into the schedule for the next 6 weeks. And on Friday, we have William Taylor out of Tallahassee, Florida, talking about his music that he's making with a theme of friendship. So that will be lots of fun to talk with William out of Florida. He is, he writes his own music, produces his own music, and is looking to try to create an album and get some type of a record deal. I know a little bit, but not the full story. That's why we're going to have him on the show to talk to him about what's going on in his world. Let's take a break or two for just a couple of seconds. We had some requests earlier last week for some music by C.G. Reich, who was on the show recently, and we've not been able to get back to a couple of his songs. So now is a great time to do that. So we're going to play a couple of C.G.'s songs back-to-back. He was just in the he was playing at Downtown Disney on Monday and Tuesday night. I don't know if listeners had a chance to go down there to see him or not. If you haven't liked his Facebook fan page, you really should, the C.G. Reich fan page. And when you do that, he posts where he's going to be and the events that he's going to be at. But if you have a chance, if you're in Southern California, to go to Downtown Disney and actually watch him play outside, it is quite tacular. You can go to musical events and people just get up there with a guitar, or, they sit in front of a microphone and they might sing, they might actually move a little bit. And that's all fine. And then when you go to CG's event, he's got his entire percussion and drum set up, and he's banging on the drums, hitting the tambourines. He's got the triangles going, he's got the lights going. It's a big light show, and it is spectacular. So if you ever get a chance to see him, I highly encourage you to go to Downtown Disney. If you don't know what Downtown Disney is, and I've lived here 4 years, and I did not know this until about 6 weeks ago, when I went to go see CG directly. Downtown Disney is really a big outdoor mall outside of Disneyland, and it's a great way for Disney to get people to stay close to the property instead of going to spend their money somewhere else. So they've got a great parking facility. You get 2 hours of free parking, and then you also can go eat at places like House of Blues or all the chain stores or chain restaurants, all the stores, lots of knick-knacky types of things. And then, of course, you're always close to Disney and their hotels, so you always stay close to the property. And of course, since it's a Disney property, they make all their money on it, which is a really cool thing. But at Downtown Disney, you're not going into the Disney park, so you don't have to worry about paying the $1 million to get into the Disney park or huge lines or anything like that. You can just go to the restaurants or watch the entertainers, and it's really a quite lovely experience. So highly recommend that. But here's a couple of songs by CG, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Sit back and enjoy. is a little C.G. Reich, and that is his song, I See You. The first song that we played was The Two Trees of Eden. These are off of his three CDs, and if you like the music that you hear, go to cgreich.com, C-G-R-Y-C-H-E. Yeah, that's it, cgreich.com, and you can pick up his new music, and he'll make you a deal if you buy all three of the CDs that he has out. And during the music, I was actually chatting with my friend Angela, who made the kind introduction to us at a movie premiere that CG had written and directed and produced a few months back. And, of course, so she's talking about Downey's Dessert. So, Angela, thanks for talking me into going to that movie premiere with you and your husband, Kenneth. And if you're in the Costa Mesa area, or actually anywhere in Southern California, she ships as well. But I'll give a big shout-out to the fine folks at Downey's Desserts. I am not a dessert person, never have really liked desserts once I finally gave up ice cream, you know, several years ago. But Angela makes the world's best brownies, and she makes the world's best banana bread. She makes great shortbread cookies. She makes gluten-free chocolate chunk peanut butter cookies, red velvet cupcakes that will melt in your mouth. And again, this comes from somebody who does not like sweets and does not like desserts. The thing that I really like about Angela's desserts, when she makes them, she's got this secret way, and she won't even tell me what it is, because you know, she knows, you know, it's like telephone, telegraph, and telegarret, and the word's going to get out. But one of the things that she does best is she's got this unique way of making sure the outside's supposed to taste like an outside and the inside is tasting like an inside. And off you go. It is really quite remarkable and amazing and really, really delightful. And so I always love the fact that she knows exactly how to make a dessert fantastic. And that's what her and Ken do all the time. I'm going to get a chance to see them this Saturday. We're going to a red carpet event of some kind. She says, it's for a new TV show, Garrett. You've got to go. So I am delightful and giddy that I will get to go to see the two of them this weekend, but also hang out with some Hollywood celebrities on Saturday night. I'm told I can take my camera, so there may be some picture photo opportunities to present themselves, and if they do, that is great. I will be doing that. Today, you'll see on Facebook, if you are following me or we're friends on Facebook, you should always send me a friend request at The Garrett Miller, that's me. I have a picture of recent G Radio Friday Night Dance Party guest Colton Renard, and he and I met up in Burbank today at Gala Thai. I think that's how they pronounce it, Gala Thai, G-A-L-A, and then Thai, you know, Thai food, because that's what I love to eat. And had a really cool, fun, I was going to say, you know, great, but I don't know, all the great words you want to use. Had a great meeting with him, just talking about his perspective as a brand new Los Angeles transplant. He's been here for a couple of weeks now and getting his feet kind of, you know, cemented in the ground a little bit, you know, just starting to try to grow some roots a little bit. And had a fun opportunity to he's never had Thai food before. I said, okay, we're going to open up your horizons, and he thought it was great. So got a chance to see Colton Renard there. So if you have a chance to go to Facebook and check out that picture, I will encourage you to do so. We've got a lot of news coming out of the world today that I thought would be fun to kind of talk about. We've got 10 cars that are going to be discontinued after 2015, so it looks like we may have another model year around it. But here's the article, and this comes from InsiderCarNews.com. Styling fads come and go, technology comes and goes, and buyer needs are constantly changing. These are all the reasons why the automotive world is constantly evolving. When automakers become complacent and live off past success, they eventually learn what the now-defunct Saturn learned, change or die. I think there are other issues with Saturn, not bad at all, but that's beside the point. This constant changing is also why you see so many different cars coming and going each year. As new model years roll around, buyers can see dozens of old cars disappear and be replaced by a dozen all-new cars. Understandably, this can get rather confusing. To help get a grasp on what cars are checking out for 2015, InsiderCarNews.com has put together a list of the 10 most notable cars that won't be around after next year. Some of these cars are leaving, so they can really simplify confusing lineups, where others simply won't make good business sense, so they're going to get rid of them. However, there's one vehicle that won't live beyond 2015 that has no reason to go anywhere other than the fact that its parent company obviously wants to change things a bit. So here are the 10 cars that are not going to be seen after next year. The Chevrolet SS. I don't know why they made this car, but on paper, the Chevy SS was a hit. It had four doors, 415 powers of horse. 415 horsepower and required little engineering work because it was simply a rebadged Holden Commodore, whatever that was. I'm going to have to sneeze. Hold on. Excuse me. I think that was the longest 10 seconds in radio history here. It's a rebadged Holden Commodore, which was imported from Australia. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case, as only 2,166 units, that means cars, have been found in garages to call home as of October of last year. On top of slow sales, GM has decided to cease Holden operations in Australia starting in 2017, meaning the SS must die too, or GM needs to find a way to produce the SS in another country. The latter simply won't happen, and the 2015 model year will be the last for the SS. Okay, so let's get to the next one. The Dodge Grand Caravan. From the beginning, Chrysler's minivan lineup was a little odd. There were three nearly identical vans sold under three different names, the Dodge Caravan, Chrysler Town & Country, and Plymouth Voyager. Clearer, but they still were murky. Now that the Fiat is running the show, there are some serious shakeups going on in all of the Chrysler brands, and one of these shakeups is the elimination of the Dodge Grand Caravan, leading the Town & Country as Chrysler's only minivan offering. Fiat is an odd company, so don't be surprised to see the Grand Caravan return in some form in the future, but now it is walking that green mile. The Acura TL. That doesn't surprise me. The TL has been a forgotten model in Acura's lineup for quite some time, as have pretty much all Acura sedans, and it hasn't stacked up well against others in its class in recent years. For 2015, Acura made the TL's demise official with the release of an all-new TLX. Whereas the TL lacked the features required to make it feel like a premium car, the TLX has those features in spades and the drivetrain options to better compete with the German heavy hitters. So bye-bye, Acura TL. Also, the Cadillac CTS-V wagon. My own commentary here in just a second. The Cadillac CTS received an amazing redesign for the 2014 model year and became a car that could actually compete with premium German brands. Sadly, the CTS-V did not debut immediately, though we did receive a 420 horsepower CTS-V Sport model. However, the CTS-V will return soon enough because of the lack of interest in the wagon model. There is no CTS-V wagon in the cards for the new generation model. Fortunately, Cadillac decided to offer the old body style CTS-V wagon for one more model year in late 2014, but it appears to be the end of the line for this fast American grocery getter. Now, the Cadillac CTS, great car. When you turn it into a station wagon, it's just a Cadillac station wagon, and I don't know. I think if you want to a station wagon like that, you usually have a mini SUV or an SUV to go do that. You're not going to get that in a Cadillac. Those days are way in the past. Let's see here. Also going, by the way, say the Toyota FJ Cruiser. I never understood what Toyota was doing with this model at any time, so I think it was probably like a brand president or division somebody who probably said, we're going to do this. Why? Because I'm running the department, and everybody said yes. But it certainly doesn't fit with Toyota at all. The Jeep Wrangler rarely had a competitor to worry about in recent history, as the Geo Tracker of the 90s was too soft, and the current Nissan Xterra doesn't quite have the off-road prowess of the legendary Jeep. But that all changed, according to this, when Toyota released the FJ Cruiser with its off-road-ready suspension and meaty tires in 2007. The FJ gave the Wrangler all it had, but Toyota promised its all-terrain rig would only a one-generation model, and it's making good on this promise as we head towards 2015. In fact, FJ production has already ceased, but there should be some new stock left when 2015 rolls around. This is interesting. I like this. Nissan Murano's Cross Cabriolet. I hate the name Cabriolet. It just sounds like a glass of wine, but the Nissan Murano Cross Cabriolet. The picture is great. The Nissan Murano was never a particularly good-looking crossover. I thought it looked cute. but it did fit the bill as a well-equipped and sporty model that was relatively affordable and a decent cargo room. So yes, it fit a niche, but the Nissan Murano Cross Cabriolet is another story altogether. This is the author, not me. Never once have I heard someone say, gee, I want a high-riding crossover without the cargo room and with a retractable roof. Nissan is a company that's not afraid to take a chance on a model, but the Cross Cabriolet is one that likely should have been scrapped from the beginning. Fortunately, the 2015 Murano features an all-new body, and there is no Cross Cabriolet version in sight. Any leftover Cross Cabriolet should be off the dealer lots by early 2015. I don't know. You know, if you had like a chance to have like a convertible SUV, you know, you see the older Jeeps and things like that, it'd just be a, you know, luxury version. I think that'd be a great idea. Here's a Jaguar model that I think it looks like a Mitsubishi, and I think it is a great suggestion to get rid of this one. The Jaguar XK. Yeah, the Jaguar XK was the was in the same shoes as the F-Type back in 1907. It was the Jag's newest sports car, and it helped give the struggling brand some legitimacy during its harder years. Fast forward to the end of this year, and we now have the sleek and sexy F-Type, and the world has almost forgotten about the poor XK. With the success of the F-Type, Jaguar realizes that the XK has no place in the lineup and will eliminate it following the 2015 model year. Rumors at Jaguar, however, point to an eventual replacement that will ride on a stretch F-Type chassis, but these are unconfirmed to date. Okay, there we go. And the Nissan Cube. You know, this is kind of a cute car, but, you know, onward and upward. As I said, you know, this is the author, not me. As I said before, Nissan isn't afraid to take risks. Sometimes it has a home run, and other times it knocks a dribbler back to the mound. Well, the Nissan Cube is more like the equivalent of a popped-up bunt that accidentally lands in the pitcher's mitt. Sure, the Cube has its niche, but it is very narrow, and that's evident by the 200 or so units it sells every month. The Cube was a model destined for the guillotine, and they're surprised that Nissan let it hang around for six model years before pulling it out of its misery and pulling the plug. Honda's Fit EV. The Fit EV is not long for the world, but it's not the fault of anything that it's doing. As a compliance car of sorts, the Fit EV were sold to obey the stricter emission laws in a handful of states. Technically, the Fit EV was never sold to anyone. Since its debut, Honda has offered it strictly on a lease basis for a rather low price. This all comes to an end after 2015 model year ends, as Honda will cease production of the Fit EV and crunch data to see if building one on a grander scale makes good business sense. There we go. And finally, the Dodge Durango. Every car on this lot, or on this list of car lots, has a really good reason for getting the axe. Some are being cut to simplify lineups, and some are poor sellers, and some are built to just to satisfy regulations, as we just talked about. The Durango, on the other hand, fits none of these reasons, according to the author. It's only recently received a redesign, and its sales are consistent, and Dodge lineups isn't bursting at the seams with SUVs. Regardless of lack of reasoning, the 2015 model year will be the Dodge Durango's final run. There are rumors that the Durango could simply shift brands and become a new three-row SUV in Jeep's lineup, but that has yet to be determined. So those are 10 models of cars that are not going to be seen after next year. There you go. Let's go to a couple more songs. We'll be back in just a couple. Sit back and enjoy the music.
I got smoke in my hair, my clothes thrown everywhere. Woke up in my rocking chair, holding a beer in my hand, sporting a neon tan. My stereo cranked up, I can't
How do you not like a little Luke Bryan on a Wednesday night? That's all my friends say. You know, I don't play that often enough, and in fact, I think I need to do a Friday night all-night dance party where we just do a country night again, because it's actually one of the things that I have not done for months is actually just had a music night on the dance party, so it'll be fun to do in the coming weeks and months as we get ready to play some new music as we start heading across the pond on the Friday night dance party starting next week on Chet and Spin Radio Network as well. So, cool. Hey, we've got a special guest tonight, and I'm really thrilled to have him back on the show. And, Bo, you're just going to kill me when I say this. You know, if I don't think, it's, you know, it's always when you start thinking about it, you screw it up. So how do I say your last name?
Janot.
I was going to say it's Bo Janot, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to say that. And then as soon as I say that, it's going to be wrong, and then I've screwed it up again because I did that last time.
Nope, I grew up with one of my best friends' fathers always coming up to me going, Bo, what you know?
There you go. Well, everybody, this is Bo Janot. He is the director of a short film that's winning awards all around the country at the LGBT film festivals. It's a poignant story of Trucker Patty. And Bo is back on the line tonight talking about actually, for everybody who didn't hear the interview before, I'd love you to talk about that a little bit, but also where you're going to be showing the film this Sunday night. So welcome back to the show.
It's a pleasure to be back. I always enjoy coming on your show. I'm very proud to announce that we're going to be a part of the San Francisco Transgender Film Festival in their Afternoon Delight program this Sunday, November 9th at 2:30 at the Roxy Theater. It's the 17th year that San Francisco has thrown the Transgender Film Festival, and it's a great honor to be a part of this program.
Now, have you ever been to their event before, or is this going to be a new experience for you?
It's going to be a totally new experience for me. I mean, I have to say, I sent them money last year. They had an Indiegogo campaign so that they could pay to keep the festival going, and so I actually contributed money last year to that, and so it was an honor to actually get to be a part of the festival, and you know, I actually donated money to this year's festival as well, just because I think it's a great program and it's a great opportunity for the trans community to come together and share films about their community.
I love it. You know, and I want you to talk about the film Trucker Patty in just a second, but one of the chances that I had to meet you in person was when you were at Outfest, right? And I'm screwing up my names tonight. But it was at Outfest over the summer here in Los Angeles, and one of the things that everybody kept saying, you know, when you go, instead of picking out all the films that you think that you want to see, go see something that you would never, ever see in your entire life and change your life for the better. And I thought, oh, that's just, you know, that's just silly. What a bunch of nonsense. And I was invited by yourself and Trucker Patty, the star of the movie, to attend the screening. And I actually thought I was just going to come to see, you know, your 15 minutes of fame, and that was going to be it. But it was an entire afternoon of films and shorts about the transgendered community. And I was shocked at what an amazing amount of talent was in that theater that day. But all of the films that they showcased were just absolutely brilliant. But, of course, you know, I'm a little biased. Of course, I thought Trucker Patty was the best. And, you know, you are winning awards all over the place. So I thought it was appropriate that everybody gave you a standing ovation there. But it was such a I'll call it like a milestone mark for me, because I never expected to meet so many people who are just really, truly cool people. And to see the incredible talent that they had. Do you know, besides the Trucker Patty feature that I'll have you talk about in a second, do you know how many other films are going to be presented that day up in San Francisco on Sunday?
I do. Well, here's the thing is that there's a couple of different programs. The festival actually starts this Friday with their opening night ceremony at 8 o'clock. Everything happens at the Roxy Theater. If you need any information, if you need tickets, go to sftff.org. You'll be able to link on all of this and buy tickets.
I love it.
Then they have – are you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. And then on Saturday, there's two programs. There's one at 7:30 and then one at 9:30. And then on Sunday, there's a program at 2:30 and then one at 4. And then I believe there's one, maybe the 4 o'clock is the last one. And so I believe all of those are feature-length movies, and I believe that ours may be the only short program.
Really?
And in our program, there's one, two, three, there's four shorts. I may be wrong. I'm really bad. I haven't really paid too much of attention to the rest of the festival because my schedule is such that I'm flying up to San Francisco on Sunday morning. With the guys, and then flying home Sunday night so that I can be back at work bright and early on Monday morning.
That is a whirlwind for sure. So for everybody who hasn't seen Trucker Patty or doesn't know the story of Trucker Patty, and I almost feel like, well, if you don't know the story of Trucker Patty, you know, you're not one of the cool kids. But can you tell us a little bit about Patty and how you met and how the film came together for you?
Exactly, and if you don't know Trucker Patty, come on, people, get with the program. Trucker Patty is a transgender truck driver. She's actually retired now. She transitioned back in the early 80s, and at the advice of her doctors, you know, pretty much put the whole gay community, put the whole drag community behind her, and went and lived the next 25 years as a straight woman, getting married and divorced twice. Neither one of her husbands knew. And then about 8 years ago, through the help of Sirius XM Radio and OutQ in particular, you know, she came back out as a trans woman and embraced the LGBT community and has been an advocate for the community ever since.
And so when how did you know of Trucker Patty?
You know, I have satellite radio. I listen to the OutQ channel quite regularly, and she is, you know, has been a regular caller to a number of the programs on there. So I had always been aware of who Trucker Patty was, you know, just like I knew a number of other names associated with the different shows on the channel. And about a year and a half ago, one of the shows, the Derek and Romaine show, did what they called a listener cruise, where they basically said, we're going to be going on this cruise this week in March, and if you want to go, talk to this travel agent, and he'll book you through our program, and we're going to hang out. And there were about 30 of us, including Derek and Romaine, and Patty was one of the people, and we got to chatting and talking, and started hatching. The didn't even hatch a plan then. But I think in my brain, I probably was hatching a plan. But after we got back from the cruise, my brain started going and looking into the whole idea of, you know, the whole gay and lesbian truck drivers to begin with, because gay and lesbian people are kind of an isolated class to begin with. And to put yourself out there as a truck driver and isolate yourself even more just psychologically intrigued me. And while doing the research for that, I decided to go, obviously, with the most spectacular aspect of what would have been a full-length documentary and exploit that, you know. And so I spent 10 days on the truck with Patty with two GoPro cameras, and, you know, we just kind of chatted.
And so did you come away with anything that was really shocking to you about Patty or about her experience during the filming?
The fact that she could get married and divorced three times, and I still haven't found a date yet. I did.
Fair enough. Well, remind everybody, and I need to tell you, just I'd not met Trucker Patty until the premiere of her documentary at Outfest in Los Angeles. I chatted with her a little bit on Facebook. I've chatted with her maybe on the phone once or twice. And, of course, I'm a longtime fan of hers from calling into Sirius OutQ programming on a regular basis. But that story that she tells is just it's one that will move you. You know, even if you're a stoic, unemotional rock, and I kind of put myself in that category quite a bit, you'll see this and you'll get a little bit of a tear in your eye. There's a lot of, there's a lot of very touching moments that are told during this. And as a filmmaker, I think you've done a fantastic job capturing her story. The only thing that I would say, here's my critique, if I could have you do anything else, make it longer. But I know, you know, with the short, you have to have it under a certain number of minutes and that type of thing.
And the truth is that I really do have a whole lot more material that I could have made. My version, just my really rough cut, came in at 2.5 hours, and I
wow.
still had about 2.5 hours of material to go through. So there is a lot of things. Obviously, there's a lot of legal issues that for reasons that I couldn't go into other things. A lot of hearsay
names, and,
right. It wasn't worth going down those paths given the time frame that we had to do what we had to do. And so we had to make some real surgical cuts and decide what the gist of the story was. And I think what you find in this, and what I like to say is that my movie is not really that unique. I've just basically applied what we've been using in our coming out tales for the last 10 to 15 years to a transgendered story. So basically,
wow.
what I've done is I've taken Patty's story and I've made it as a coming out story.
I love it.
And I kind of feel and what I'm seeing in Patty and her behavior is that I've kind of launched her. And it is kind of a coming out story because I've kind of launched her and to get off her behind. And if she wants to be a spokesperson for the transgender community, then she needs to get out there and be one. She needs to talk. She needs to write. She needs to get herself out there and not just sit back and, why am I not doing this? Because you're not doing it. And so I'm trying to keep her motivated and give her direction and keep her story going, because I can't. I've done what I can do. I've launched it. Now it's her turn to step up and take that story to the rest of the world. And I'm very excited that I was able to launch that for her.
Well, and you've done a great job at that. Do you think once the film festivals and the circuits are over, you'll have this come out on DVD or on demand or any other platform like that?
Yeah, I've looked into a couple of aggregators to get it on iTunes. Unfortunately, one of the companies that I was in close talks with has gone bankrupt. So it's a bit back to square one in trying to find an aggregator. Because if you don't go directly to iTunes, you don't have anybody you need to, and you go through an aggregator, you need to make sure that they're going to be there to, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Take care of the funds and make sure that you get paid what you're supposed to get paid and that sort of thing, which is, for me, is an easier way. Let somebody else do that and take their cut. However, if that doesn't work out, there's one other milestone that I'm kind of waiting for before I'll just release it on like YouTube or Vimeo or something like that so that everybody can see it. I've got some money invested in it, but the truth of the matter is I didn't do this as a money making proposition. I did it to get the story out. So if that's what I have to do, then I'll do that.
Very good, very good. Remind everybody, Bo, one more time, where you're going to be this Sunday and about the festival in general.
It's the San Francisco Transgender Film Festival. It's all this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The Trucker Patty documentary is playing on Sunday, November 9th at 2:30 as part of the Afternoon Delights program. You can find all of this information on the on their website. It's sftff.org. And everything is happening at the Roxy Theater in San Francisco this weekend.
There we go. Bo, I can't wait to see you again in person and shake your hand. And I wish you lots of luck on your flights and connections and getting back home for work on Monday.
Well, luckily it's just Burbank to Oakland, so no connections. Boom, boom, I'm there. And we've been saying we're going to have lunch, and so we have to make that happen and not be one of those Hollywood people who keeps saying it and then never do.
Oh, no. When I say it, it actually happens. So I'm glad that you called because now that I've got my calendar open as I'm doing the show tonight, while I play the next song, I'm going to go find some dates. So this is on the air so you can hear. I'm committing on air to do this. I'm going to find some dates. I'll send you a note on Facebook, and we'll get it all set up.
That sounds great.
Thanks, Bo. Have a great time. Say hi to Trucker Patty for me.
I will do that. Thanks again. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bo. Bye-bye. With a song that he did or didn't write with Farrell, who also did or didn't write it. So that's always interesting, as they would say in Hollywood, is a non-committal answer here. Let's talk about some celebrity birthdays, and we'll get the show wrapped up. We have Kevin Jonas. They call him a guitarist, but of course he's one of the Jonas Brothers. He's 27 today. He appeared on an episode of Hannah Montana that broke cable records with 10.7 million viewers. Columbia Record only released 50,000 copies of his debut record, so the band switched over to Hollywood Records and played songs for Baby Bottle Pops commercials. I don't know what that means. South Park made fun of him and his brothers for wearing promise rings. He married Danielle DeLisa on December 19, 2009. They had their first child, a daughter named Alina Rose Jonas, on February 2, 2014. Happy Father's Day, Kevin. Congratulations. The Walt Disney Company premiered the original series titled Jonas, which featured the three brothers in 2009. Kevin Jonas is 27 today. Happy birthday, young man. Happy 59th birthday to quote-unquote reality star Kris Jenner, reality TV star who gained fame for appearing on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, The Talk, and America's Next Top Model. She married the lawyer Robert Kardashian, who defended O.J. Simpson during his murder trial and raised her children as a stay-at-home mom. She has appeared on the series Courtney and Khloe Take Miami and Courtney and Kim Take New York. She had four children with Robert Kardashian, whom she married in 1978, then married former Olympic decathlon Bruce Jenner in 1991. They have since, of course, separated, and Kris filed a divorce in September of this year, and apparently both Bruce and Kris are now seeing other people. Congratulations. She's also become Kim Kardashian's manager, helping her to deal with a career that grew beyond anyone's wildest imagination, including Kim's butt. Happy 59th birthday to Kris Jenner. We've also got Mr. Bryan Adams having a birthday, 55 today, Canadian singer-songwriter of Everything I Do It For You. And summer of 69, he has been the recipient of more than 15 Juno Awards. That's like the American Music Award. He's traveled to many places with his diplomat father, and he saved up money as a dishwasher to buy a guitar when he was 14. His music was featured on the 1991 Robin Hood film Prince of Thieves, starring Kevin Costner. He's had one child with Alicia Grimaldi. Their daughter, Mirabella Bunny, was born April 22nd, 2011. Boy, he started late in life. He worked with Melanie Jane Chisholm on the top 10 single, When You're Gone. Happy 55th birthday to Mr. Bryan Adams today. We've got Peter Noon, singer is how he's categorized, lead singer of the 1960s British rock band The Herman Hermits. He's also appeared on Coronation Street, which is a soap opera, and Peter Noon is 67 today. Before he was famous, he won the Outstanding Young American Musician Award at Manchester School of Music, and he joined Herman's Hermits when he was 15. Fans call him Herman, despite knowing his real name. That's a little trivia fact. Peter Noon is 67 today. And also celebrating birthdays, Famke Janssen. I love this actress. She's 50 today. Looks like a million bucks. She played mutant Jean Grey in the X-Men film franchise and played Xenia in GoldenEye. Remember that. Her roles in Nip Tuck and Taken brought her additional fame. In school, she pursued an economics major, and her first name means little girl in West Frisian. Say West Frisian five times fast. She's married to Kip Williams from 1995 to 2000, and again, big star of the X-Men movie. So Famke Janssen is 50 years old today. Happy birthday, young lady. And with that, we're going to say a warm good night to everybody who tuned into the show tonight. We'll be live tomorrow night with author Gail Carline talking about her best-selling novel, and you have to tune into that. And again, don't forget the Friday night dance party comes to you live, 7 p.m. Pacific time, that's 10 East, with Mango Dreamers on Friday night. Wishing you a fantastic night. Don't drive distracted. We'll see you live.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.